From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of August, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll hear about the cash grain markets from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And look at the weather forecast with the guys at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Along the way, Daryl Good's thoughts on the short crop and long tail and when that might really end. Has it arrived yet? We'll know more this afternoon from him, and then maybe again next week, he thinks, on the 12th day of August when the crop production figures arrive. And today we'll hear the first in a series of reports that I'll produce from my trip to Haiti. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check now the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on a Monday afternoon. It is the 5th day of August. Here's the way the September soft red winter wheat finished at $6.45 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. December there at $6.57 and three quarters, 15 and a quarter lower. And the hard red September at $6.95 and a half finished 11 and a quarter cents lower in Kansas City. December futures at $7.07 and a quarter for the hard red, down 11 and a half. Back in Chicago from the CME Group Corn Pit now, September contract $4.69 and a quarter, 6 3/4 cents the loss. December futures at $4.60 and a half, down 3 1/4. And the March corn, 3 cents lower at $4.73 and a half. May contract $4.81, down 3 1/4. And July corn down 3 at $4.87 and a quarter. September of next year at $4.90 and a half, down a penny and 3/4. December of next year, that's the 2014 harvest month, at $4.94 and a quarter, down 1/4 cent. Soybeans, that is, a $13.29 and 3/4 settlement price for the August contract, down 1 1/4. September at $12.07 and a half, 5 1/4 lower. And November beans at $11.83 and a quarter, a penny and 3/4 higher for the day. January futures at $11.90, up 2 3/4, and November of next year at $11.73 3/4, 6 1/2 cents higher. Bean meal futures off $9.50. Bean oil down 35 cents for the day. October live cattle futures at $124.55 per 100 pounds finished 7 1/2 cents higher. The September feeders at $157 even were unchanged. October unchanged as well at $159.15. And October lean hogs at $85.50 were $1.55 higher. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, September contract, $106.54 a barrel, down 40 cents. September RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, $2.95 even. That's down 4 4/10 cents. Ethanol futures at $2.26, just about 3 cents lower on the day. The difference between the two is now 76.5 cents. It's 4.5 cents narrower, and 4 4/10 cents narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.33 6/10 cents, a penny and 1/10 lower. And the diesel fuel at $3.05 2/10, down 1 1/9 cents. Gold futures finished at $1,302.10 an ounce, down $8.10. And the U.S. dollar at 81.86 is up 0.0, rather down 0.03 at this hour. Here's how the weather forecast shows things happening for the afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high near 80 degrees this afternoon. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a low of 63 degrees this evening. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time. Partly sunny, a high of 84 degrees tomorrow night. Rainfall likely, mostly cloudy, and a low of 69. Chance of precipitation tomorrow evening set at 60%. And then on Wednesday, a 40% chance of rain showers, mostly cloudy, high of 85, on a southwest wind at 6 miles an hour. A 30% of rain chance of rainfall on Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, and a low of 64. And on Thursday, a 30% chance of rain showers, some thunderstorms, partly sunny otherwise, a high of 79 degrees. Showers continue into Thursday night, mostly cloudy and 62. And finally, on Friday, partly sunny skies for the whole day, a high of 81. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of August from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Pete Manhart is on the phone line. Thanks, Pete, for taking the reins this afternoon. Glad to talk to you.
Well, we're happy to visit with you.
Well, tell me about the marketplace, what you've been seeing over the last week, and what farmers have been asking.
Well, we're still on a downward mode from good weather, and we had good rains across parts of the Midwest over the weekend and some today across Iowa and northern Illinois. Even here in Bloomington, we had some. And that's continuing to push it down. No really bad weather in sight. The old crop September beans were down 26 today, came back to only down 5. The new crop November's closed up 1 3/4, 13 off their low. So we did try to come back on beans. Corn stayed down. It did, though, come 3 to 4 off its low, down 6 in the September and 3 in the December. And just possibilities of good weather and continued good growing conditions pushing it lower. A lot of people think we ought to be near lows, especially in corn, and maybe have a bounce into the next 2 to 3 weeks. But there's really nothing severe out there in weather or exciting in exports or usage to push things back higher.
I suppose you have to wait until you run out of gas on the bottom side, and that might not come, I guess, until a week from today when USDA at 11 a.m. Central Time, Monday of next week, the 12th day, releases its first survey-based crop production numbers.
Right, and it's expected that they will maybe raise corn yields a little. I don't know that they will do anything with acreages. Beans, it's kind of unknown. One of the things today was Informa's numbers came out, and they lowered their bean yield a little lower than USDA's. Their corn yield was 158.6, which wasn't as high as some people expected. And those both helped things recover a little bit after the lows.
Your expectations for producers as to whether or not they will be willing to make any new crop sales in this next week, or should they just wait out the USDA report and find out what the numbers say?
I would wait out the USDA report unless we get a really good bounce. I would always, on good bounces, be willing to either protect the bottom side or dribble some cash. Seems like there's a lot of people that haven't done anything this year that just plan on storing it. But if we grow a 14 billion plus crop and have poor usage, next year's crop could be a lot lower than this year's.
Now, there's an interesting and complex issue there. In the past, they have had really pretty high prices at the scale. Many have sold over the scale. This year, they may have the highest prices they will see, but they won't sell over the scale because they're still lower than what they expect, right?
Lower than where they were 2 weeks ago, a month ago, last year, and just not willing to part with it, thinking that somehow it'll go higher. And right now, there's nothing on the horizon to push it higher.
So, what do you tell the folks like that? Do you have a plan of action for them that allows them to keep it in the bin and still protect themselves?
Buy puts, sell out of the money calls, do both. There are some people right now even talking about frost as their last resort. looking to buy calls from that. I don't know if it's time for that. Somebody today told us that we were going to have frost September 8th and 9th due to the animals out there are starting to buzz, supposedly 6 weeks after they start buzzing the cicadas.
Is it the cicadas?
Yeah. And, you know, the old rule of thumb on corn is once you've pollinated, you need 60 days or 1,340 heat units to get to black line and black layer, rather, and black layer in this area should be somewhere September 15th to September 25th for most of the corn. But I've got some corn around still has not pollinated, still hasn't tasseled, that it's going to be after the frost date before the regular frost date. And if we would have one early, we'd have, especially north, a lot of corn that wouldn't have black layer yet.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural commodities.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, you know, the commodity prices following a drought year follow a generally similar, if not quite predictable, pattern called a long tail. I'll have more on the end of a short crop's long tail in a moment. The cash price of corn in central Illinois in late May of last year was near $5.80 a bushel. It climbed dramatically from that level over the next 3 months to peak at about $8 in August of last year. Just a few days ago, August the 2nd of 2013, the spot cash price of corn returned to $5.80 a bushel. And thus ends the generally expected short crop long tail pattern. However, the process by which the market generated the pattern is different, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good.
While corn prices have behaved as expected, the consumption response to high prices was not as expected. The bulk of the consumption response was in the export market. With less than a month left in the 2012 marketing year, U.S. corn exports are expected to reach only 700 million bushels. 840 million less than exported last year and 550 million less than projected by the USDA in September 2012.
Contrast this against the domestic consumption, especially by livestock, which appears to be off by just 95 million bushels from the previous year. And Darrell Good says it is possible to come to some interesting conclusions about whether or not the long tail price pattern has actually been completed.
As of July 25th, the USDA reported that 358 million bushels of U.S. corn had been sold for export during the upcoming marketing year. That's 100 million more than new crop sales at this time last year. Sales to China have already reached 116 million bushels, compared with total sales for the current marketing year of only 98 million.
Well, a great deal of corn will need to be harvested this fall if all that consumption and its prospects are to be met. That brings Good back to the 2013 production and the end of the short crop's long tail.
The USDA will release its first survey-based yield and production forecast on August 12th. Confirmation of large production prospects would suggest that some further price weakness would be expected as the long tail price pattern is completed near harvest.
Completed near harvest, says Darrell Good. Depending largely on what USDA is able to glean from the first survey-based crop production numbers. Those will be released at 11 a.m. Central Time Monday, August the 12th, 2013. The Closing Market Report is a production of willag.org. Find us online at willag.org. Well, a cooperative grant effort between the National Soybean Research Lab, based right here in Champaign, the United States Department of Agriculture, and a Haiti-based not-for-profit called Meds and Food for Kids is working to fight malnutrition in the Caribbean nation while at the same time creating economic prosperity. I made a trip with the National Soybean Research Lab to Haiti and filed this report collected on the north end of the island. Cap-Haitien is filled with people. Not as many as Port-au-Prince, Haiti, but it is crowded. And like the rest of the some 11 million inhabitants of this sunny island in the Gulf of Mexico, they can be desperately poor. Well, the earthquake a few years ago made a bad situation worse, says Patricia Wolf. She used to be a pediatrician from St. Louis, Missouri, and has volunteered in Haiti since the late 1980s. She says over the decades, it became clear to her more needed to be done here to fight childhood malnutrition.
For the first 15 years, I was in a village clinic. I saw sick kids, and I treated them with medicine. Why were they sick? They were sick because they had an infection. Why did they have an infection? They had an infection because they were immune deficient, because they were malnourished. So I was treating the result of malnutrition, but not treating the malnutrition. So after 15 years of coming once a year, twice a year, three times a year, four times a year, and finding the same kids sick or dead the next time I came, it was clear that we had to do something about malnutrition, and that giving medicine for kids who are sick because they were malnourished was too little, too late.
So Patricia Wolf took an idea from one of her colleagues at Washington University in St. Louis and started making ready-to-use therapeutic food. She calls it Metacaca Mamba, or peanut butter medicine. She says the recipe is the gold standard for treating malnutrition all over the world.
It's peanuts, powdered milk, sugar, oil, vitamins, and minerals for severe malnutrition. And for moderate malnutrition and for prevention of malnutrition, it is soybeans and a little bit of milk and peanuts and sugar and oil and vitamins and minerals. We make both of those products, and we also make a product for school snack, which we just tested with a United States Department of Agriculture grant and in partnership with the National Soybean Research Lab at the University of Illinois, which has been a great hit.
The recipe for the school snack is pretty simple, too. It contains peanuts, soy flour, sugar, soybean oil, vitamins, and minerals. The kids eat it just after arriving to school, almost always on an empty stomach.
Preliminary results are an improvement in anemia, an improvement in sick days, and much more activity on the playground and much more interaction in the classroom.
And Patricia Wolf says many happy children and many happy teachers. About 800 kids were fed the peanut and soybean-based school snack. Madzan Food for Kids has a really nice plant on the north side of Haiti. It was built with love and volunteers from the drawing board up and a great big loan from LGT Venture Philanthropy. LGT helps social organizations to grow with grants, loans, and equity investments with the explicit objectives of not interfering with the competition and in accordance with free market principles. In short, it wants to improve the quality of life of less advantaged people by investing in them locally. Madzan Food for Kids can do that in four ways, says the founder, Patricia Wolf.
So we treat malnourished kids with as much free product as we can afford from donations. We help peanut farmers grow more and better peanuts so their incomes improve and their children are not in our malnutrition programs, and their quality improves so that the whole country is not affected by this toxin called aflatoxin, which is ubiquitous in Haiti at present, unless we have monitored and mentored the peanut farming. We also do research and development on new products like this school snack, and we produce it in a factory.
That fourth point is mighty important to Wolf, the company that made the loan, and Haiti.
We could make it cheaper in the United States and import it to Haiti. Everybody does that. That is rescue. Rescue leads to nothing but more rescue. People need jobs. People need training. They need a future. No one's going to rescue Haiti and Haitians forever. Someone has to stay on the ground for a long time and build industry and build skill sets and build food safety kind of standards. None of those exist. In order to make forward progress in the country of Haiti so that people can live here, keep their families alive, and not hope for rescue from abroad.
Well, it's the old proverb in practice for the kids and the adults of Haiti. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Show him how to catch fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason in Cap Haitian, Haiti.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Have you visited our website lately? I hope so, but if not, visit it now at willag.org. That's willag.org. By the way, I'm working on a TV version of the radio story you just heard, and it should be posted into that website. I kind of hoped it would be there this afternoon, but I don't think I'm going to get it all completed by late this evening. So maybe by tomorrow you can drop by at WILLAG.org. And if you'd like to see some of those kids that are at the schools in Haiti, they will be there. And, of course, Patricia Wolf and a couple of the guys that went on the trip with me from the Illinois Soybean Association. If you happen to know Ron Moore up at the Monmouth area, or Joe Murphy, who's down in Harrisburg, if nothing else, you can get a chance to see them in action. They're on the video at willag.org and part of our trip to Haiti with the National Soybean Research Lab. On the phone line now with us to take a look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Good, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm really well. Did you get a chance to open up and take a look and see where the weather is and that rainfall that Pete was talking about earlier in the show?
I did. When I heard Pete say it was raining in Bloomington, I just opened up the radar, and unfortunately it looks like it's going to stay north of us. It looks like Kankakee is getting a real good shower right now, but Ford Iroquois County is about as far south as it's coming, so Champaign County may miss out on this rain today.
Does this mean that you think we need a rainfall?
Oh, we would always take rain. I think the corn crop has pollinated in good shape, and you know, two or three more rains will fill those ears out. So, you know, don't want any more tip back than what we have to. And the old saying is the beans are made in August and the corn's made in July. So we need about two or three rains in August, and I think the bean crop could be in pretty good shape as well.
Tell me about basis for corn and then beans.
Old crop corn basis, we lost another nickel since last week when we talked. That spread between old crop corn and new crop corn is going to come in at some point in time. We're still $1.45 higher on old crop corn prices than we are on new crop corn prices. And as we start to see the southern harvest take place, that $1.45 will eventually come into zero at some point in time. I don't know exactly when, but as we saw a couple weeks ago, when that basis breaks hard, or when it breaks hard. So we've been encouraging people to at least get basis set on that old crop corn before it weakens anymore. Same way on the beans, we've lost a nickel on the bean basis since last week, and old crop basis just continues to weaken as we get closer and closer to harvest. Those old crop and new crop prices eventually are going to come together.
How soon do you think that will happen?
Well, I think we could see with that $1.50, $1.45 spread in corn, you know, we'll start seeing 25 cents go one week, 25 cents another week. We really won't see a lot of harvest activity around here until 6 weeks from now, but you know, as we get in, as the southern harvest starts to take place any time now, there can be corn moving into the pipeline and eventually maybe barging up here into central Illinois from down south. So I guess when I look at the risk, the potential upside reward versus the potential downside, I think there's more downside in that basis weakening rather than getting stronger. So I think it's a good time to get basis locked in.
And if they do that, How do they go about doing that with you or any other grain elevator? What do you do?
Well, if they've got the grain either on farm or in the elevator in DP, they just put it on a basis contract. Whether they put it on the basis versus the September futures or December futures, either one is fine. But what that does is that allows them to price that grain later on at a dollar over the board, which is where, you know, we're at now, rather than waiting until it gets to fall when we're option price or 10 under that basis that futures contract.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. What are your bids?
Old corn is $5.84, new corn $4.50, old beans $13.28, new beans $11.71, and wheat $6.25.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and joins us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Waffle Day. It's also National Mustard Day. At first, mustard was considered a medicinal plant. In ancient times, the Greeks used mustard as a remedy for scorpion stings. Prepared mustard for culinary purposes may date back to the early Romans, who ground mustard seeds and mixed them with wine into a paste. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, William Dimes was born. An English meteorologist, he was the first to invent an instrument to measure both the velocity and direction of wind. In 1909, the first corporation tax was passed by the U.S. Congress. In 1914, the first electric traffic lights were installed in Cleveland, Ohio, at Euclid Avenue and East 105th Street. And in 1962, Marilyn Monroe died, an American actress. In 1947, she won a curious contest. She was crowned the first artichoke queen of Castroville, California. The little-known Hollywood starlet, born Norma Jean Baker, had just begun using Marilyn Monroe as her name, although she did not legally change her name until 1956, just 6 years before she died. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural weather forecast with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Eric Adamczyk is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Eric. Hey, why don't you introduce yourself to the folks here and let me know a little bit about where you came from and your background, please. Oop. Eric must not have made the transfer over. That's okay. We'll catch up with the guys at Chesapeake Energy next week when we give them a call for the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies and a high of 80 degrees on a south wind at 11 miles an hour this afternoon. That'll gust all the way to 15. And then tonight, a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 63 degrees. A south wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 in the afternoon. Partly sunny and a high near 84. Tomorrow evening in the Urbana-Champaign area, east central Illinois, showers, thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy and a low of 69 degrees on a south wind at 5 to 7. And then on Wednesday, a 40% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 85 degrees. Wednesday evening, 30% chance of showers and rainfall, mostly cloudy and 64. And on Thursday, that chance of rain showers continues, partly sunny and a high of 79 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and 62. Friday, sunny skies and 81 degrees. And Friday night, partly cloudy as we begin the weekend, and 63. For Saturday, sunny skies and 82. Saturday evening, partly cloudy and 62. And mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 80 degrees. That's the forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area. Remember, you can always pick up the weather forecast on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In fact, most days you can find the agricultural specific weather forecast there in two time slots, once in the afternoon during the Closing Market Report at this time, and then, of course, in the morning as well. And you can find that morning slot in a podcast and the afternoon slot in our weather segment online at willag.org. We think we have the best weather meteorologist on the planet on the air with us. In fact, I'm fairly certain that is the case. If you're looking to find out what's happening in China or Argentina or the Australian wheat crop or right here with what's been happening in the crop production areas of the United States, always tune in to WILL for the weather forecast. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks so much for being with us. Do visit that website at willag.org. And don't forget that if you can't get to the website, you can always just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail. We update it with some of the numbers and the analysis at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. That wraps up the CMR for Monday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.